Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. And welcome to another episode of Glass Half Full, a podcast and a safe platform where we talk with a variety of teachers, entrepreneurs, spiritualists, uplifters, givers, shakers, and serenaders. Everyone has a lesson to learn and a lesson to share. Let's use our life experiences to enrich someone's heart, mind, spirit, and soul. Through sharing our experiences, we can be a learning inspiration for one another. I'm your host, Chris Levins. Let's welcome today's guest. Today's guest is June Edward. June Edward is the relationship mastery expert and psychic medium. June Edward has been psychic since childhood. She didn't realize she was also a medium until later in life. June experienced an NDE, a near-death experience, when she was 27 years old and came back to this side by choice. She can offer firsthand experience that life after life does exist. June's sold-out group readings can offer insights to the best paths for your life and help to reveal what the universe has in store. June's special gifts include working directly with the angels, guides, and departed souls. These combined tools have made her a very strong and accurate relationship mastery expert and psychic medium, able to reveal validating details to help audiences get the most out of their lives and relationships, both personally and professionally. Let's give a warm welcome to June Edward. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being a guest here on Glass Half Full. We are happy to have you today. Can you tell everyone where you are in the world and what time it is, please?
So I'm in Florida, United States, and I'm on East Coast, Eastern Standard Time right now. So it's about 8:30 in the morning.
Yes, good early morning. How's the weather?
It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today. The sun's shining. I went to the gym at about 5 o'clock.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
The sunrise.
What? Wow, you've been up forever.
I'm an early riser. You know, I love the morning time.
Well, they say you can get the best out of the day if you wake up early. So
I think so.
Well, you know what? I do what I can with the part of the day that I have. So
I hate to miss a sunrise, though. They're just so beautiful. And I live right near the ocean, so I'm so blessed.
Oh, that's nice that you can just have that view. It is beautiful to be able to see the sunrise, yeah. Though. You're right. I'm in the land of the rising sun. So it's the sunset that we're getting here compared to the for the side. Okay, we're going to jump right on in. I like to ask all my guests this first question. I believe that our lives are in spiritual design. Can you share your life layout or blueprint with everyone? How you grew up, where, your family lifestyle?
So everybody knows, and no one knows their whole blueprint because you're not supposed to. If you knew everything about your life, then you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning.
True.
But we do plan our lives. We plan everything that happens in our life before we come here, just so we know that. You know, if you don't like what's happening in your life, you've got no one to blame but you.
Mm.
And I used to laugh at that because I had a very difficult upbringing. I was one of 8 children, very abusive parents. And I don't think we were raised. We were dragged up, is what I say.
Wow.
And it was a very challenging life. I basically, you know, I was fortunate that, you know, I was able to, at young ages, 6, 7, 8, hang with friends who literally would feed me and teach me manners and skills and how to eat with a knife and fork and literally things like that. And I was good at observing other people and realizing that, you know, there's other different ways to live. This doesn't seem like it's the best and most optimum. But I realized that all the challenges that I went through in life have made me the person that I am. And realistically, I wouldn't be able to help half the people that I help because you really do have to walk a mile in their shoes. Mm-hmm. You can't relate to the challenges that other people have had if you haven't gone through it yourself. So there's not much that I haven't gone through in my life, to be quite honest with you. And I'm here. I came out the other side and I'm still grateful.
There it is, to be grateful, right? Yes, with all of it, with all of it. Wow. And so tell us about, you know, this is the biggest question. I'm sure everybody like, what, and you know, what is being psychic? Like, what, how did you discover your psychic abilities? This is probably like the most exciting, one of the most exciting guests.
Let me ask you what psychics being like, so because everybody has psychic ability and everybody has mediumship abilities. Have you ever thought about somebody and then they called you or they showed up?
I have.
Well, there you go. You got psychic ability.
Now, I never said that. Well, we're not interviewing me, though. We're not talking about me. We're talking about you and the things that are going on.
So it's kind of like playing a piano, okay? Because everyone's born with psychic ability and mediumship ability, but it's all a little different for everybody.
Okay.
So it's like playing a piano. Some people sit down and all they can play is chopsticks. Other people are interested and they'll teach themselves a couple of songs. Other people want to do it for a living, so they train and become a concert pianist. Hmm. And I'm like the child prodigy that sits down at 6 years old and plays Mozart. Hmm. I was born with a lot of ability. And it was very frightening as a child. My earliest memory was about 3 years old, and I woke up in the morning hearing someone calling my name. And I thought it was my parents, so I get out of bed and looked, and they were fast asleep. So I went back to bed and started realizing that there was faces all around my room looking at me.
Oh, wow.
And it scared the heck out of me. I pulled the sheets up over my face. And when the sun started to come up, I could see their shadows like leaning over me on the bed.
What?
It was very frightening. And yeah, and this continued. And I was very afraid as a child. And then as I got older, you know, I started to see full-figured apparitions. I remember being at my girlfriend's house one day and we were in the basement. And we both heard a noise upstairs and we went outside because no one else was home but us. Mm-hmm. We went outside and I saw an apparition of a full man in her bathroom. She didn't see it, but she heard the noise and I saw the full apparition. And, you know, we went running to a grandfather's house. They called the police. They came in search of the house and didn't find anybody. But I was starting to see full figure apparitions at that point. And then as I get a little bit older and I would tell everybody in school what was going to happen before it happened, you'd get labeled the freak really quick because kids are cruel.
Yes.
And and I tried to block it as best as I could as a kid. And then at 10, my parents split up. My dad actually kidnapped the youngest five of us.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And my job at night was to do the dishes after dinner. And there was a woman that would stand there about the age of 45 and keep me company every night and talk to me while I did the dishes.
And you could fully see her.
Yeah, I thought everybody could see her.
And she didn't look like a ghost. She was in full flesh form. No. She didn't look like she was okay.
Not at all. Nope. And so one day I asked my brother who she is, and he starts laughing, and he's like, "Oh, you're seeing the ghost of the woman that died in the house. Her husband killed her and threw her down the stairs." Oh, and it scared me so much, she never came back. So I continued to block it from there because I was afraid, but they would still come to me if they died. Anybody that I knew that died or an acquaintance of anybody in the family would come to me. And the next morning I'd be like, "Hey, you know, John Smith died last night." And they're like, "No way. Just saw him the other day." Sure enough, they'd find out that he died. And then I died at 27.
Yes, bring us up to 27 years old. So this is happening as you from 6 years old. You're going through middle school, high school, all of these things are happening.
You're blocking it.
Yes, as best as you can. Now, have you told your parents? What did they say?
Not really. I didn't have much of a relationship with my parents.
Okay.
They were very dysfunctional people, very abusive. I didn't see my mother from the age of 10 until I got married at 21. I invited her to my wedding. Okay. And you know, she was, you know, we had a strained relationship for a long time because she had so much guilt she was carrying on top of it all.
Hmm.
It was very difficult, but, at 22, I had injured my back and I needed surgery and I put the surgery off as long as I could, because I just knew that if I had the surgery, I was going to die. And that's your soul giving you a heads up, basically, that knowing that is your soul. And the night before the surgery, I told everybody the same thing. I said, "Listen, I know that something's going to happen. I'm going to die." And they're like, "Oh, no, you're just afraid, blah, blah, blah." And it had nothing to do with that. I just knew it. So the night before the surgery, they did an MRI test with a contrast dye. And I told them that I thought I was allergic to it because I'd had it once before and I had a very bad reaction to it. Mm-hmm. And they just poo-pooed it off and said, you know, it was normal. Everybody had that reaction. I'm like, okay, what do I know? I'm only 27. I'm not the doctor. So as soon as they administered it, I died. I flatlined. I never called it an NDE. I'd never heard of it until a few years ago because I died. And that's all I knew. I died. Mm. And everyone's experience is a little bit different, I guess. I immediately was just whisked to the other side, which I now know is the lowest level of heaven, the fifth dimension. Mm. And I could see everything that was happening below. You know, I could see them. He hit the crash car. They came in. They did the paddles.
So you're watching everything as if...
I could see it happening. I could also hear the nurses out in the hallway, and they're talking about it, and, you know, the room in back of me, what was going on. Hmm. And in the meantime, I'm getting a full life review, which is like sitting in front of an IMAX theater in the front row. And everything that was important in my life started to run by in like a movie format.
Oh, wow.
And then I heard someone behind me tell me that it's not really my time. I can stay if I want to, or I could go back. It was my choice. Mm. And what I used to say that the two things you take with you when you die is knowledge and love. But I've since learned that we take all of our feelings to the other side, whatever they are, hate, anger, remorse. But for me, it was an overwhelming sense of love and peace and being belonging. It was just amazing. Mm. And it was a really tough decision, to be honest with you. I think I would have stayed, except that I just remembered for a second that I had two children here. Oh, and wow. they were the reason that I even came back into this lifetime and that I needed to be here for them and that they brought me the most joy in life. And I hadn't had my third son at that point. And they were the reason that I came back. And as soon as I made that decision, I was back in my body in a second.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, it was very difficult to talk about for a long, long time. I had to process it myself because I was one of these people that if I couldn't see it, feel it, touch it, it must not be real, right?
Oh, okay. Because this is it. You didn't grow up with like spirituality and religion as a child,
I
right?
I grew up in every religion there was because apparently my mother was a medium, but I didn't know it at the time. And she was searching for answers. So I was raised Episcopalian, Baptist, Protestant. I was the only Catholic in a non-Catholic school. I was only non-Catholic in a Catholic school. My sister ended up being Hindu. Wow. We were exposed to all kinds of religions, Jewish, and my mom's friends were Jewish that survived the Holocaust. And yeah, I was exposed to everything. So, you know, it's funny because even when I get older, went into the hospital to have my kids and they ask you religion, I just put spiritual. I didn't know there was a religion that's spiritualist. I always knew there was a higher power. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't believe in saints and angels and all this stuff. I didn't believe in all that crap. Okay. I'm like, this is just, you know. So, you know, your belief system is based on what you're taught or what you experience. Mm-hmm. When you experience something that's so outside of the norm, it's very hard to process it. It's called cognitive dissonance. It's different from, you know, your brain can't adjust to it. And it takes a while. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, the feeling and the amazement from the other side, you know, it was hard to feel that here. When you think of quantum physics and the speed of light, it's almost 300 million miles a second. So when my soul, which is who we really are, we're not the suit that sits here, we're the energetic soul inside. Mm-hmm. When my soul went into the light and went to heaven at that speed, I was traveling at 300 million miles a second. That's an extremely high vibration. Mm. It's amazing. And the higher your vibration, the more elated you are. Think about walking into a birthday party or a wedding and everybody's happy, right? Your vibration rises. Imagine having such a high vibration. It's incredible. The feelings are just amazing. And then at three, I came back into my body at that speed.
Mm.
So my vibration is automatically much higher than most people. I think that's what attributes me to be able to connect to the other side so quickly, because I can come and go to the fifth dimension, which is the lowest level of heaven at will. They won't let me beyond that while I'm tethered to this body. I've seen beyond that, but I can't go there with my soul at this point.
Hmm.
And a lot of people that have had an NDE commit suicide because they can't get that feeling back once they come here, because Earth is a lower vibration. Mm-hmm. Human beings themselves are at a lower vibration. But you can get that back through meditation, because your soul is way too big for this body. Some of your soul is in the body. Some of your soul is over your head, which people see, and they call that an aura. And the majority of your soul is actually in the lowest level of heaven, the fifth dimension. And it orchestrates the timing of the events that happen in your life here. And it also has the knowledge of all of your lifetimes. So when you meditate and get in touch with your soul and get out of your head, you're not just accessing this part of your soul that's in your body, you're accessing that part of your soul that's in heaven and has all that knowledge. And it raises your vibration exponentially.
Wow.
So there is science behind all of this, if they want to really look into it and claim it.
Nice. Ken, I'm sure everybody's wondering, like, what does the other side look like? What is it that you... saw? What was your experience?
So I read Akashic Records, which is people's books of life, and every religion speaks about a book of life and has all your lifetimes in it. And I can go back and forth to the Akashic Record room at will as well, which is in the fifth dimension as well. So when I go there and everything that I've experienced, it is just bathed in white, white light and white form. It's white. It's all white. It's white pillars. Books themselves are not white. So, for instance, when I go to the record, I got there accidentally the first time I ever got there through meditation. And I'm like, where the heck am I? And they're like, oh, you're in the Hall of Knowledge. And I'm like, well, I'm all about that. Show me more. He brought me over to what looked like a tunnel. You just look down and up, and it's just this, you know, this basically a tube that just goes up and down, and it's full of books. Wow. And he just called a book which floated to him, and he handed it to me. And I went into a side room and I opened it up, and just like my life review. So he's a Palladian. The person that guards the Akashic Record room for me is a Palladian, which I didn't know what a Palladian was either.
Look, it was on the tip of my tongue to ask you.
I came out of the meditation and I'm explaining what happened, and I'm explaining who was there that gave me the book, and they're like, oh my God, it was a Palladian. I'm like, what the hell is a Palladian? So I had to research all this stuff because I never heard of any of it. So Palladian is an alien life form that they are here to help us. I've never actually seen what he looks like because I've never looked up into his face. And he keeps his hands under a cloak. So I have no idea what he looks like, to be honest.
And he's in white as well?
No, he's in purple. He wears a purple long gown type thing with a cape over it that's all purple, like purple satin. And so I've never seen his hands, and I've never really seen his face.
And he just floats along.
Well, he guards the Akashic Record room, and he gets the book for me to be able to go in and read whoever book it is that I need to read.
And he knew who you were.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting is I did a reading for a woman once a few years ago, and she had been abducted by aliens multiple times, and she wanted to know why. Yeah, she wanted to know why she keeps getting abducted by aliens. So I'm like, gee, who the heck do I talk to get those answers? So I talked to him and I asked him. And he informed me that there were a lot of people, apparently, that had chosen to have knowledge to literally save the world. And she was one of those people. But unfortunately, our brains can only handle so much information, and it denigrates, basically. So they keep picking them up to reinforce the information that they have. And she was supposed to be putting the information into a book format so that it can teach multitudes of people. She had learned a new type of an energy healing, which was amazing. She did it on me, and it was just amazing. Very different than anything I've ever felt or seen before. But she still wasn't doing that. She was like teaching small groups of people, four or five at a time. And that's not what she's not going to be able to teach the masses by doing four or five people at a time. It doesn't work that way. And I explained that to her, that she really needs to get it into a book format because she has to educate the masses. This is what she's here for. And until she does that, she's going to keep getting picked up because she's not really following through on what she's supposed to be doing with the knowledge she has.
Wow.
So it was pretty interesting.
Yes, to say the least. My goodness. I'm like, wow, this is all interesting to me. Wow, so amazing. Okay, so yeah, I know.
I'm amazed every day.
And this is it. And so I wanted to ask you, what is a day like for you? Are you like making coffee and people are appearing? Are you like driving somewhere and somebody's at the stoplight? Like what's...
So it's interesting. When my abilities opened back up again about 10 or 11 years ago.
How did they open back up? Let me just ask that. Did you start to accept that they were...
So after I died and came back, you would think that would be the time, right? But it wasn't, because that's not how my life was planned out, apparently. But I got curious again after I died and came back, and I started going on haunted vacations with my ex-husband. We'd go to, you know, the Wally House, twice to the Queen Mary, Alcatraz.
Was something happening when you guys went?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, snap. Okay.
I was starting to see, you know, the energy again. So I would see the orbs. I would hear the voices. I would smell the perfume, different things like that. Mm. So I started to get sensitized again to all the energy. And about 10 years ago, I was going through a divorce and I was having difficulty with my businesses and I was making decisions out of desperation. And I went to see a Reiki practitioner to relax. And she recommended that I meditate. And the same thing every one of my students says to me, there's no way I can meditate. My brain doesn't want to shut off. I've got all this stuff going on in my head. And the first time that I tried to meditate, it was like they kicked the door into the other side. She's ready.
Oh, wow.
And my abilities opened up 1,000 times stronger than they were when I was a kid. Hmm. And I was freaking out again because same thing. I get up in the morning and there's 30 people around my bed. I go to work and I was working in my own business as a medical esthetician. And the first woman that comes in, I start doing her facial and I'm like, did your aunt just die? And she's like, yeah, how'd you know? And I'm like, I have no idea how I know. I'm like, did you clean her house out this weekend? She goes, yeah, this past weekend we cleaned everything out. I'm like, oh. I'm like, did you find one of those sock puppets from the 1950s that looks like a monkey? She's like, yeah, we found one in the attic. And I'm like, oh my God, wow. This is nuts. The next person that comes in, it's the same thing. It's Christmas time. I'm like, you have 4 Christmas trees in your house? She goes, how do you know that? I said, I have no idea how I know this, and I don't know what's going on with me. I said, but suddenly I know stuff that's really weird. I said, you've got 2 upstairs, 2 downstairs. She goes, yeah. I said, you've got a rocking chair in front of your fireplace. Yeah. I said, you got your husband. This. I said, you got a little girl. This. Fine. She's like, you've been to my house. I'm like, I swear to God. And now I'm like, are they just playing along with me? I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Are they on the joke too? Right.
It just kept continuing. The next one that comes in, I'm like, you know, do you live in this little, you know, A-frame red house on the water? She's like, no, I live in this big brown house in Barrington. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Well, good. I'm wrong. Good. So I'm like, are you worried about your husband? She goes, yeah. It's the first time he's taken a trip without me. He's in Florida. I said, well, he's fine. Don't worry about it. Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
So now she leaves. She comes running back into the room. She's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Look at my phone. She goes, my husband sent this to me when I was having my facial. And I look, it's the little red house on the water. And he's like, look, I found our next house.
Oh, wow. Confirmation that you said it. Go ahead and buy that house, right?
Yeah. And the next one coming in, she's got a full apparition of a man in a soldier's uniform following her into the room. And I'm like, are you a widow? She's like, yeah, my husband died last year. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I said, if he had any messages for you that, you know, would you want to know? She's like, absolutely not. I'm like, okay. So now I got this guy standing next to me the whole time I'm doing the service and I'm trying to say to him, listen, I'm sorry. She doesn't want to talk to you. There's nothing I can do. You know, I was freaking out. I'm going through the magazines that I can find, trying to call anybody that's a medium, asking them, how do I shut this off?
And because this is the medium side of it, right? This is the medium is being able to see the, because the psychic part is knowing what's happening before things are going to happen, correct?
Well, the psychic, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, okay. Being able to see the future and things like that.
Okay.
So yeah, I was just freaking out and I wasn't having any luck. And I ended up, you know, it's the old adage, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. Mm. The universe has a plan for us.
Of course.
And I ended up going to a lecture and there happened to be a medium there who was doing the lecture. And I checked with her to see if she had any openings available. She lived about an hour away and she was fully booked for like a month. And I said, well, if you get any cancellations, please let me know. And she got a cancellation the next day. Mm. So I went up to see her and, you know, I sat down and she's like, okay, so show me what you can do. I'm like, I don't know how to show you what I can do. I don't know. I have no control over this. It does its own thing. She's like, well, bring one of my relatives through from the other side. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. They just show up. So she's like, well, close your eyes. She goes and just ask for somebody to come through. And I brought through all of her relatives from her mother's side, her father's side, back four generations. It was just
whoa.
Insane. Yes, exactly.
And they're in the room. They are coming.
Then it gets better because the doorbell keeps ringing and she's like, oh, you're going to have to ignore that. She goes, there was an old woman that lived on the property and she doesn't want me living here and she's always harassing me and I've banned her from the property. So now I'm like, oh, I can see her. She's standing on the edge of the property and she's banging on a pan saying, it's her house, you need to go.
Is she a spirit as well?
Yep, I can see her standing there.
Wow.
So now when I leave, I'm halfway down the highway. All of a sudden, I look to my right. She's in my car. She's in my front seat of my car.
Oh, my gosh.
I screamed.
Oh, my gosh.
She disappeared. All the papers that I had in my seat go flying. I had to pull off the highway to recover. I'm like, oh, my God.
Wow. So I
spent a year and a half in training on how to turn it on, how to turn it off, who I'm talking to on the other side, how to protect myself. And then they took my education from there, from the other side, and have taught me everything else that I know.
Wow. This is so amazing. Wild. Yeah, I mean, granted, I'm sure like everybody wants to ask something of you, right? Like people who know you, they want to be like, can you this or can you, you know.
It's such an amazing thing
for that. I want to ask you, you've come out with a new book.
Yep, Love and Trauma.
Yes. And I want to know what inspired you to write this book and what do you hope to accomplish by the readers reading it?
So it's interesting. It's, you know, they put you on the path that you're supposed to be on. And when you're listening to your soul and you're following that, you never know where it's going to bring you. Mm-hmm. So about 7 years ago, I started a Facebook group for advice. No one was interested. I changed it to relationship advice and it blew up. So there was like, you know, I had literally probably 15,000 people in the group before Facebook started cutting people back.
Wow.
And then I heard that I needed to film relationship videos. I'm like, relationship videos? I'm like, okay. So I sat down and I wrote out everything for 10 different relationship videos for blended families, divorce, retirement, all kinds of different things. And I literally hired a production crew and I filmed all these videos. And now I'm like, what am I supposed to do with them now? I don't have a clue. Do I put them on my website? Do I sell them on Facebook?
Mm.
Nothing, right? I'm like, okay, whatever. Sat on them for a year. And then I heard you need to do a program so that people can understand how to connect with their soul and change their energy. And everybody wanted, you know, everybody's asking about relationships. So it was based on relationships. So okay. I created the Relationship Mastery Program. And all of these videos that I made just fit right into my program.
Basically, they were waiting for this program to be put in.
Exactly. It's
you didn't know it, but they were on hold.
They knew on the other side what the plan was.
I mean, yes.
I had no idea. I just keep doing what they tell me to do. Okay. Hmm. So I put the Relationship Mastery Program together. The results are incredible. I work with one person in a relationship and teach them how to change their energy, how to get in touch with their soul, and how to see life from a higher perspective. And the result of that is because we're magnets and we're always attracting or repelling at any given time, all the people in your life are on that same energetic frequency that you're on. Mm. It's like a radio station. You can't get the radio station in if you're not on the right frequency, right?
Right.
It's the same thing. So and when you're living with someone, what happens is your energy builds up, the magnet flips, and instead of you attracting, you're repelling. Mm. So the only way to stop this is to learn how to balance your energy. And that's what I teach people how to do. So the highs aren't so high, the lows aren't so low, but you can maintain the law of attraction in your life for everything. And your life changes amazingly. Mm. And the results of my program are incredible, working with one person, because for every action, there's an equal or greater reaction.
Yes.
And when you change, everything around you changes. Mm-hmm. And I don't let anybody make a decision as to whether or not they belong in that relationship because when you make decisions from your head, you're doing it with your brain. Your brain has a specific job. It's to protect you. How does it do that? It creates fear. So people are making their decisions based on fear. And when you do that, it's a 50-50 crapshoot. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong, but you're always questioning yourself. So I don't allow them to make the decision as to whether or not they belong in the relationship until they've been able to get in touch with their soul. And that's the knowing. And then they'll know whether or not they're supposed to be there or not. And I mean, I had some people that were in some pretty abusive relationships that anybody would have said, why are you there? I said nothing. And after they got in touch with their soul, they realized they really did belong there. And the other person in the relationship changed 180 degrees and it became an amazing relationship. It's just incredible how it worked. And hundreds and hundreds of people went through the program.
Wow.
So as a result of the program, I learned that everyone going through that program has the same five soul lessons they have to learn. Every one of them. And that is the...
I was about to say, tell us, June.
Well, that's what the book is all about. All's fair in love and karma. So we have three different types of relationships, first of all. We have a karmic relationship. And a karmic relationship... you'll know you're in one because it never really feels quite right. You're always looking for the red flags and you feel like, you know, you're waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Oh, so you're not settled into it. There's an unsettlement.
So, and it's specifically there for you to teach them something or they to teach you one of your lessons. And as soon as one or the other learn the lesson, the relationship ends immediately. It's like you wake up one morning and say, why do I have this person in my life any longer? And if you've both learned the lesson, it ends amicably. If only one or the other has learned the lesson, it will end, but it won't be amicable. Then you have the soulmate relationship. And that automatically feels really good, like an old shoe, like you've known this person for a long time. And again, it's to teach someone or to learn something. But once one or the other has learned the lesson, a soulmate relationship doesn't necessarily have to end. It really depends on what you put into your life plan. You can continue to learn the rest of your lessons with that person if that's what you wrote into your life plan. But it feels completely different than a karmic relationship. And then you have the twin flame, which is extremely rare. There's way too much misinformation around the internet about twin flames. Everyone does not have one. They are not.
Yeah, you know, there's been a huge mess about this for sure.
Yeah. And they are not the big, nice romantic relationship like The Notebook. That's not what it is.
Oh, tell us. What is it?
No, it's literally one soul that splits into two bodies before you reincarnate back here in the world. And you will always reincarnate into separate bodies at that point. But you are one half of the same soul. So when you meet each other, the connection that you have is just off the rails. It is extremely sexual, extremely passionate, extremely psychic, and extremely short-lived. It lasts literally from a few weeks to a few months, and it's over. And when it's over, you both go your separate ways with no contact for the most part. It's like being ghosted. And what happens is it throws your life into complete turmoil. Everything in your life ends and changes, and it puts you on the path in life that you're supposed to be on. And if you both learn the five lessons you're supposed to learn and get on the higher path that you're supposed to be on, because twin flames are supposed to be doing something to help humanity, then you'll have an opportunity to reconnect in this world. Otherwise, you'll reconnect in the other world. And that's the case for most twin flames because they can't both learn the lessons and get on the path that they're supposed to be on. There are very few of them in the world at any given time. And it's so intense that you're not going to want to be with anybody else the rest of your life because you're going to feel like you're settling. No one else is going to measure up to that person. Yeah, it's a very heart-wrenching, and you'll always keep that psychic connection. So, you know, they could be going through a death and turmoil, and you're feeling it, and you have no idea why you're feeling it.
Oh, my gosh. But
you still have that connection. Yeah, it's not the easiest thing to go through in the world. It's very challenging. So it's not something I would really wish on a lot of people.
No, not at all. Right. For sure. No. For sure.
So then the five lessons that you are here to learn, the first one is self-worth. And that's not value because that's what other people place on you. Self-worth is the understanding that you are so important that you are the only one of you in this entire universe. How special is that?
I love it.
You're needed for something. Okay. And it's also understanding that although society would like you to think so, it is not narcissistic or selfish to put yourself first. It's where everything else comes from. If you can't put yourself first, you're not going to be here to take care of anybody else, are you?
I know that's right.
Yeah. And no one else has power over you. You know, right now everything's, oh, you hurt his feelings. No, no one's responsible for your feelings but you. I don't have that kind of power. If I had that kind of power, I could make you fall in love with me, right? I could make you, you know, anything. No one has that kind of power over you. You're responsible for how you feel. And you're responsible for your own happiness. No one else can make you happy either.
That's right.
You know, I hear all these people with, oh, when, you know, when I meet the right person, I'll be happy. When I get the right job, I'll be happy. No, you have to be happy first, and then you'll attract all the rest.
Yes, June. Give it to us. Yes, yes. I love it.
Then you have trust and communication. Mm-hmm. And you have to trust, first of all, that there is a higher power. And the 1,764, recognized religions just in the United States. They're all right and they're all wrong. When you get there, there is only one, and you can call it whatever you want. You can call it God, Jehovah, Buddha, you know, source energy, whatever you want. There is only one. That's it. And you have to trust that. And you have to trust that that you made the plan. And if you don't like what's happening in your life, well, then you've got no one to blame but yourself because you planned it. And if you look at the breadcrumbs of your life, 2020 vision's great, right? To look behind you and see how everything in your life has been connected to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and brought you to where you are right now, because you're always exactly where you're supposed to be. And a lot of the things that happen in your life, as you're going through them, you're thinking, oh, it's so terrible. Why is this happening to me? But in hindsight, you can look and see, wow, thank God that happened, because it wouldn't have brought me to where I am, right?
Or I wouldn't have met this person that's brought this.
Exactly.
And yeah, there is some type of connection. I wanted to pause one second and ask you, what do you call it?
What do I call what?
You mentioned that you know, people are calling it Jehovah. They're saying the energy. What do you say?
I call it source energy or God.
Source energy or God. Okay. Good. I just wanted to stop and ask that. Please continue.
Yeah.
Trust and communication we have.
Trust and communication. Self-worth. Yeah, so you have to trust. So, and you also have to trust that anything that's happening in your life is not happening to you, but it's happening for you.
Mm.
Because the goal here is never to hurt you. The goal is always for your highest and best.
Nice.
And when you are stubborn and can't stay on your plan, the universe will give you a little nudge. And you may not like the nudge, but it's going to do it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to communicate your wants and your needs to the people in your life, no matter who that is, friends, family, employee, employer. They don't know by osmosis what you want or you need. You have to be able to communicate that.
Mm-hmm.
And then sex is just another form of communication. If you can't trust and communicate outside the bedroom, you're not going to be able to trust and communicate inside the bedroom.
Amen on that. It's true.
And then you have unconditional love. Well, each of these lessons is going to reinforce the next lesson. So unconditional love is not playing the martyr and saying, oh, I have to stay in this abusive relationship because I'm supposed to be practicing unconditional love. No. That's where self-worth kicks back in again. Hmm. Unconditional love is saying, listen, I care about you. We had a great run. It's not working. Neither one of us are having joy any longer. It's time to part ways.
We should just let it go. Exactly.
And truly wanting the best for them and you. It's not waiting till the weekend and bad-mouthing them to all your, you know, your friends and things.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly wanting the best for both. That's unconditional love. Suppose you had a child that you love unconditionally, and they do something horrific like murdering a neighbor in a fit of rage, and they go to prison for the rest of their life.
Mm.
You don't like what the child did, but hopefully you still love your child, right?
Yes.
And if you're still stubborn and can't understand unconditional love, because I hear people tell me, oh, this condition's there, you're in a relationship or it's your child. Well, the universe will take it one step further because you need to learn unconditional love. Maybe they'll have a drunk driver take your child. And your child had written that in their plan before they came here. So they knew they were going back to the other side a little earlier. And trust me, they were in a better place. And the driver has his own lessons that he has to learn. So are you going to let it destroy your life?
Mm.
Are you going to hate and let that destroy your life instead of being appreciative that you had your child for the time that you did? They're a gift from God.
Mm.
They can take them back anytime.
Oh.
So the next lesson you have is money and balance. And money is energy. This is why it's called currency. And it's what we use in this 3D world to show whether or not your life is in balance. Everything in the universe has to stay in balance. This is why you have good and evil, night and day, left and right. And you don't, everything also has to be an equal exchange of energy. So you don't walk into the grocery store yet and pay $1 million for a gallon of milk, right? Because that's not an even exchange of energy. And then if you're working 80 hours a week and you're just saving your money, then the rest of your life is out of balance as well, right? You have no time for your friends, your family, your own hobbies, and then you're just saving your money. So again, you don't have enough self-worth to spend the fruits of your labor on yourself. So it keeps reinforcing the other lessons. And then people, because money is energy, you have to understand that it has to flow. The more you put out there, the more it's going to come back to you. It's how it works. You know, it's the old, you know, people say, oh, if you donate to charity, you'll get it back three times over. You will.
It's true.
This is how, it's how, and if you hoard it, you're going to end up with nothing, because money can't buy happiness, can it?
No, it sure can't.
What you put out comes back to you, and this is how it works. You're not meant to live in lack, ever. And when you understand how the universe works and how energy works, everything you ask for can be yours in this world, because they want you to have everything that you want. You're here for that reason. You're not here to live in lack. And even a beggar on the street, he chose to have that experience for whatever reason in this lifetime. If he wants a warm bed and a meal, all he's got to do is ask and it would be provided for him. And he just has to go there. It's that simple. No one will be left in lack. And then the last lesson we all have to learn, which is very difficult for a lot of people, is patience, because everything will come to you at the perfect time, at the time that it's supposed to.
Yeah, not when we want it.
Yeah, we live in a world of instant gratification. Everybody wants everything now, and it just doesn't work that way. How stupid would it be if every little girl that wants to get married and have babies, the stork starts delivering them at the front door, right? It comes when it's supposed to come. And if you're sitting there going, oh, I'm 35, my biological clock's ticking, I don't have any kids, I'm not married. Well, it's because you didn't plan it yet that way in this life for whatever reason. Maybe you wanted a different experience. And it still doesn't mean it won't ever happen. Maybe when you're 50, you're going to marry a widow and raise his kids. You don't know. You have to trust that you made the plan. This is how, you know, each lesson keeps going back and forth and reinforcing the other lesson. And when you can do that and wake up every morning, be excited about what the universe is bringing you today and what did I plan for the day, you'll be excited. If you knew everything that was going to happen in your life every day, you wouldn't get out of bed. It's that simple.
True. True. Wow. Love it. Oh, this is a nice little list too. Thank you for the breakdown of that.
Oh,
so
welcome.
Exciting. Yes. All's fair in love and karma. Lovely, lovely. And we'll make sure that we'll be posting all of that so people can get access to your book. Yes. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. I wanted to change a little bit and ask you, how do you protect yourself energetically when you're conducting readings and things? Is there something that you do for yourself in
there
a sense
is.
Of...
And I think meditation and protecting yourself is so important that I put the proper directions in every one of my books, because most people do not meditate properly and they don't protect themselves. And it's very dangerous, because when you open yourself up to the other side, you're opening yourself up to good and evil. And what's going on in the world right now is a war of good and evil.
All
it
right,
just happens to play
it.
Out in politics. It plays out in politics. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just like money shows you how, if whether or not you're in balance in this lifetime, the evil is playing out in politics. And it's always been the case that both good and evil want your soul. God wants your soul. The devil wants your soul. That's what it's all about. And the more pure of heart you are, the more of a target you are. I guess they get more points for that on the other side. But I've even had students that have not followed the proper directions to meditate and have not protected themselves and have gotten full on demonic possessions.
Oh, snap.
So it is that important. It is that important.
And this is just from an average Joe who's saying, hey, I'm going to meditate for 5 or 10 minutes.
That's right. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yourself up. So what people don't understand, I can see energy, so I can see everything that's happening. And yes, I see full figured apparitions all over the place. It's like an episode of The Walking Dead, but they congregate in different areas as well. So for instance, if you were in a bar or a restaurant, they want to go where they had fun when they were alive, listen to music, have food, drinks, all those types of things. But the end game is they want your body, because they don't have a body. So I tell everyone, wear some type of religious medal, something that they cross, something that's visual to them, because they're visual. And if they see that, they know you're going to give them a little bit more of a fight. They'll go on to the next person. And alcohol used to be called spirits for a reason. It lowers your vibration and allows the spirit to attach to you. So when I see an attachment on someone, it literally looks like they're giving a piggyback ride to a dark figure.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And you end up taking them home, and then you've got them in your house, and then, you know, they hang on you, and you'll hear voices. And yeah, it's demonic activity. It's not angels talking to you at that point, because they want you to, you want to get inside of your body. Basically, they push your soul to the side and take you over. Wow. Yeah, it's very scary, but it's real.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
Yep. And they'll walk in off the street. I mean, the ghosts that are stuck here, the people that have not gone into the light, cannot move any faster than you and I. They're low vibration. They can't travel at the speed of light. Once they've gone into the light, they can come back and do that. And that's not a problem. Those people aren't bothering you and hanging around you, you know, to be of danger. But the lower vibrational ghosts that are stuck here, they're all over the place. And they'll walk into your house. They'll fall. They, you know, if they want to go somewhere, they'll get into your house, get into your car at a stoplight, you know, and take a ride to the next one and to get out there so that they can go to the next place.
Why are they stuck here? Do you know?
Everybody, they're all stuck here for different reasons. I've moved a lot of young children that were stuck here into the light because they've died and not really realized they were dead, and they're still looking for their mommy.
Oh, wow.
It's very sad. Yeah. Other people, you know, they've died of drug overdoses or alcoholism, and they were afraid that they let their mom down or their dad down, and they were afraid to go into the light and have to face them. Or they've done, you know, or they've learned through their religion that they're going to be judged on the other side and maybe go to hell, and they're afraid of that, so they don't want to go into the light. Hmm. There's a lot of different reasons. I have found a few people here, that souls here, that don't want to go in the light because they still are enjoying their time here and they just don't want to go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I owned a restaurant. I owned a sports bar once that was haunted by a cook that had cooked there 50 years earlier when it was a restaurant then. And he had some mental illness, and he died. Apparently, he was drinking and fell and hit his head on the curb and died. But he was haunting the place. And, you know, the bartenders would see him walk in, go into the other room, and there's nobody there and there's no way out.
Oh, sad. Wow.
He was kind of freaking people out a little bit. And I would, you know, I'd come in the morning and all the lights in the whole place were on. The whole kitchen, everything's on. The fans are on. And of course, I'm telling the cooks, listen, you guys need to shut this place down when you leave. And they're like, honest, we did. We shut it off every night, I swear. So I got on the cameras and started watching one night. And sure enough, they were out the door by 1:30. And within 15 minutes, every light in the place went back on and the fans went on. I'm like,
oh,
what the
my
heck?
Gosh.
So I went in and called the ghost out. And I said, listen, I said, you can't do this. I said, you know, this is costing me an arm and a leg on the electric bill. I said, you need to go into the light. I said, you don't belong here. He's like, well, I don't want to go. He goes, I like this. He goes, I'm so happy that you made it into a restaurant again. He goes, you know, this was like the best time of my life. He goes, I want to stay. I'm like,
oh, wow.
Okay. I said, if you're going to stay, I'll let you stay. But you can only turn lights on if there's a problem. If you see a problem, you can warn me. Otherwise, you need to keep you cool. Don't let people see you. I said, because you're scaring them. I said, and don't be turning my lights on all night.
All right, wasting up my bill, right? Would you
exactly.
say we need that?
So he did. Yeah, there were two times that I came in, my lights were on, and both times there were refrigeration issues. One of them the guys had left unplugged during the night, and the other one it had quit. So
oh
yeah,
gosh. He did.
Yeah. So, it worked out okay. I let him stay.
Oh my god, no, that's funny. Oh. Let me ask you, are there any ethical considerations or boundaries you adhere to in your practice as a psychic?
Ethical or ethnical?
So ethical, sorry.
Ethical.
Yes.
Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, honestly, so first of all, I can't tell you something you're not supposed to know, okay?
Okay.
No one's 100% right, because I can only give you what I get. That's the second thing. So if someone tells me they don't want information, just like, you know, when I hadn't even been trained yet, when my abilities opened up that first day and that woman's husband came in, but I knew to ask her if she would want information, and she said no. So I respected that. You know, you have like the Long Island medium. She walks into a grocery store. She's giving people messages. That's a movie. That's a show. People, ethical people don't do that. You could change someone's life entirely by giving them information that they don't want or don't need. So you don't do that unless someone literally is asking you for information.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay. I probably would not tell someone if it looked like they were probably going to die shortly, but I would probably tell them that they may have some health issues that they should probably go to a doctor and get checked out.
Okay. Have you ever seen something for yourself?
Oh, I see lots of stuff for myself. But again, they're only going to show me what I'm supposed to know. Okay. Yeah, I know lots of things that are going to be happening, and I'm very excited about certain things that I know are going to be happening. I don't know necessarily the details of how or when, but I know it's going to happen. And everything that I've asked for, you know, they've given me. And this is how it works when you understand how the universe works. It's crazy. So when COVID hit, I was driving a car that was about 5 years old, and I love it. It was a BMW diesel. And I'm like, well, you know, this is 2019. I was a 2015. It's time to buy a new car and upgrade my car. So I wanted another one. Well, I start looking, and they don't make them any longer. The last year they made them was 2018. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to have to get a used one. And I'm looking around, and they want $40,000 for one with 30,000 miles. Mm. And then they're the ugliest colors in the world, black on black. Not what I wanted. So I put it up to the angels. I said, listen, I would love to get another one like I had before, which was midnight blue metallic and saddle brown interior. I had leased it before with the business. So within like 2 hours, I get an email from a dealership in Rockville, Maryland. And they had a brand new 2018 on the showroom floor, no miles, full warranty, the same price as the used one with 30,000 miles on it. I'm like, and guess what color it was?
No way.
Midnight blue metallic with the saddle interior.
Wow.
Absolutely.
You asked for what you want. Yes.
Clearly this is supposed to be my car, right?
And now, did they call you randomly? How did they call you? How did they get your number?
I have no idea. It just came in my email. I have no idea.
Oh, wow.
No idea. And so I applied for it, right? Well, I had a bankruptcy because I just lost everything in my divorce and I was denied the loan. So I put it back to the angels. I said, clearly this is supposed to be my car. It's everything I've asked you for. Now you're going to have to figure out how I'm going to pay for it because I don't have the money and I can't get the loan. So that week I put enough people in my program that paid me cash that I bought the car cash and had it delivered.
Wow.
Like, you can't make this stuff up. It's insane.
I love it.
Students could tell you. They're on video on my website. Listen to some of these stories. It's just ridiculous.
Wow.
When you learn how to balance your energy and how to raise your vibration and how the universe works and how angels, you know, angels are a completely separate race. They were never human. Their entire existence is to help us. But there are rules on the other side is the same as there are rules here. And everyone has to have purpose. Because if you don't have purpose, you have no, you know, you'd be bored to death, right? Everybody has to have a purpose to feel good. So you have to ask them. And when you ask them, they will come through with anything you want. Anytime my faith is faltering, they've done it 3 times now. Please don't do it anymore. 3 times they've done it to me. I have the most beautiful diamond earrings that my ex-husband had bought me, and I would never be able to replace them because they're ring quality and they're absolutely gorgeous. And 3 times I have lost an earring, and lost it to the point where I don't know if it's in the gym, the golf course, the grocery store. I'm looking through the grocery store. I'm on my hands and knees.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
3 different times.
Girl, you got to stop wearing those earrings. That's what they say.
No, I never take them out. That's the thing. I never take them out. And I just had new screwbacks put on it and still I lost it, right? So I sit and I ask St. Anthony, you know, and I tell him the same thing every time. I understand if someone needs it and they need it for a ring, for an engagement or something, I fully understand that. And it's not going to make any difference in my life either way. It just brings me a lot of joy and it's a wonderful memory for me. Mm-hmm. So if there's any way you can bring it back, and sure enough, as soon as I ask St. Anthony, it shows up within hours. Within hours. It's just
ridiculous.
Is
it in the house? Where are you finding it each time? Since we've had 3 misses.
The first time I was staying in an Airbnb, went through the whole thing, couldn't find it, thought I lost it on the golf course. The next morning, I get up, go to the bathroom, and I look down, and it's butt up against the bottom of the toilet.
Oh, my gosh.
The second time, where was it the second time? I don't remember the second time. The last time, though, was the third time. I'm getting dressed. I went through my whole house, hand and knees, couldn't find it. And I, all of a sudden, I'm getting dressed, and the light just hit it the right way. And I see this little glinter of, you know, sparkle on the floor and the rug. And I pick, and there it is. It's right on the rug.
Mm.
Yeah. For life of me, I don't remember where the second time where it went.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
But every time I ask, you know, every time I ask, he shows up immediately if I'm missing something. I was looking through my house for my nail drill for my dog to do his nails. And I was a cosmetologist, so I had it and brought it with me when I moved. And I went through my whole house, everything, the garage, everything. And I don't know why I didn't ask him first. I was going crazy. Finally, I sat down on the couch and I asked him. And within seconds, it popped into my head. I went and I looked in a certain place, and there it was. I'd already looked. I looked before. It wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
I wasn't seeing it.
Wow. Wow. So amazing. Yeah, so
amazing
awesome.
When you work with them. Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah, I mean, even the little things, you know, it's like even finding a parking place. I always get a parking place right in front every single solitary time. It's Christmas time. We're going to this busy place. They're like, "Well, June, I don't think it's going to work this time. You're not getting a car. You're not getting your parking spot in the front. I think we're going to have to go around the back of the building." I said, "Just stop for a second and wait a second." And within less than 10 seconds, a car right in front backed out.
You're like, "There it is. Told y'all, I was waiting
there
for
it
me."
Is. Exactly.
So funny. I love that. I love it. Well, when you know what you're doing and know how to do it, yeah, and it's for everyone, like you say, then you are able to really use the energy and use the will for, you know, to in your way.
You know, we have choice. Do you want to live in this low vibration drama? Is that what you want to do? Because basically you're playing a role in a movie here. Hmm. Or do you want to look at your life from a higher perspective and understand this is just a role in a movie and this is just a play?
Yes.
And stop putting so much importance on the things that are not important. And everything in your life will change when you change your perspective and you change.
I love that. Yes, you hit the nail on the head. Definitely. Wow, so good. I wanted to quickly ask you, have you ever experienced skepticism or disbelief from clients?
All the time, all the time. All the time.
How do you address it? What do you...
You know, I did a podcast last night of someone who was running a Catholic show and was telling me what I do is demonic and blah, blah, blah.
On the show?
Your belief system is based on what you've been taught or what you experience. Okay, it's just like atheists. I never met an atheist on their deathbed, because the closer you get to the anchor, seriously, the more fear you have and the more you want to know, right?
What? That's so great.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing when I died. I mean, I can't deny it. I can't deny what happened. The first time an angel came through to me, it was a choir angel. I was on my knees on the floor in tears. It was just incredible. So if you pay attention, there are miracles that happen around you
every single day. Yeah, you're right.
But people are oblivious to everything. They've got blinders on. They've got their head in a phone.
Mm-hmm.
There are miracles happening all the time around you, and nothing happens by accident. And if you ask to see the miracle, they will show you the miracle all the time. We live in an amazing world, and you have to really start paying attention to what's happening around you. And my job is not to try to change anyone's opinion. You can believe me. You don't have to believe me. It's not going to make any difference to me. I'm just here to help you, to tell you what I know, give you the knowledge that I have, and you can do with that what you'd like.
Yes.
It's that simple. I'm always happy to help someone else, and if it improves their life and helps them have a better life and an easier life, we're here to help each other.
I love
people
that.
Forget that as well. And again, anyone that's listening to the podcast, anyone that's listening, there's something in here that you're supposed to be hearing, because nothing happens by accident.
Yes. I love it. Yes, June. Woo! So fantastic. So great. So exciting. I want to ask you, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yes. Open your minds. Learn how to meditate. Go to my website, juneedwood.com. It doesn't cost you anything. You can watch the videos from the students there. You can sign up for a free webinar, learn a little bit more about how energy works. And then if you want, you can buy a copy of the book. You can learn how to meditate and tap into your own psychic abilities and your mediumship abilities. My first book, A Night on the Other Side, is everything that I used to teach in mediumship and psychic development. All's Fair in Love and Karma, my latest bestseller, will teach you why you're in the relationships that you're in and why you keep doing the same things in your life. And again, there are meditation directions in all of my books. I feel that it's that important. And then if you really want more information, you want a reading, you want to know what's coming up in your own life, things like that, you're more than welcome to book an appointment with me as well off my website, juneedwood.com.
Excellent. So they can do an online reading.
Exactly.
Excellent. So great. All over the world. You can be reached. We love that. We love that. And can you tell everyone if they're interested to find out what is your web address? We're going to type it in, but just give us a little.
It's just my name, juneedwood.com. Very easily, juneedwood.com.
Excellent. Excellent. And of course, all of this information will be linked underneath with all of your book information so that they'll be able to access it easily to get in. Thank you so much, June, for being a guest here on Glass Half Full. Mm-hmm. I really, really appreciate you taking some time out on this awesome sunny day in Florida.
And I have to laugh at your title of your show because one of my favorite lines, the glass isn't half full or half empty, it's refillable.
Oh, and you know, you beat me to it. I was going to ask you, I have one more question for you. And that is your glass half empty or half full? So yours is the... It's refillable.
It's refillable. Absolutely. Enjoy it. Refill it. And do it again.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for your time and your energy today and just your words of wisdom for us to just realize that there is more and that there is higher for us to reach higher and that we have available power to us and available energy to us for every person. There is no one who is any less special than anyone else. And so thank you for sharing that, as well as your information, your tools that you have left for all of us to be able to have a chance to dig deeper for ourselves. So thank you. And thank you for your time today.
Welcome.
Yes. Thank you. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Hello, listeners of Glass Half Full. Thank you for tuning in to another inspiring episode of our podcast. I'm your host, Chris Levins, and I want to express my gratitude to each and every one of you for being a part of our supportive community. Remember, Glass Half Full is not just a podcast. It's a safe platform for everyone to share their life experiences. Your stories and voices matter, and we appreciate you being here with us. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to stay updated with our future content, please subscribe, follow, and rate our podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, and YouTube. Your support means the world to us, and it helps us reach even more listeners who can benefit from these valuable life experiences. As we wrap up this episode, always keep in mind, you are blessed. No matter the challenges you face, there's a reservoir of strength within you. Until next time, stay positive. And remember, the glass is always half full. See ya!